Okay. We should say good evening to RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. And we're here today on this Saturday, 17th day of October 2020. Lockdown day, I think it's 204. And it's just getting out of hand. It really is. A country run by effing morons and absolute split-arse scientists who making it up as they go along as well. And it's absolutely gone beyond where the aggravation now is now building. Churchill said the British are slow to anger, but beware. And all sections of society now are just absolutely pissed off. The economic damage is so horrendous. And the testing showing up. Infection doesn't effing matter. It just does not matter. It's the outbreak. If we get an outbreak of the disease, and the death rate is virtually nothing. Nothing. Down to tiny, tiny trickle of people. And again, you'd like to see the medical reports and the death certificates that went with those people. You really would. But it's just the aggravation against Boris Johnson now and the Mayor of London as well, as that he can. But Johnson jumping from one foot to another and having these regional lockdowns, etc., and Liverpool being supposed to be a problem city. But they're chasing their tail. They really are. And they just don't get it, considering they had the disruption of the herd immunity factor. But the amount of people who have infection, let's call it 10 million people. So what? It's something for analysis later on in years to come. But they're absolute run by morons, and the SAGE committee and the other pimps who are working for Big Pharma are the chief scientific advisors. They are. They've got shares in GlaxoSmithKline's vaccinations section. What other evidence do we need of these people? But same in the United States. And Trump getting away with it. By the way, a report later on, which you'll read out, and Paul Craig Roberts has endorsed it as well. Resveratrol, which he was treated with, has virtually no effect on killing the COVID infection when it's a full-blown outbreak, right? I'll come to that later on. But he thinks he's been cured by it. And the guy, look, you should see the sleazy guy who owns that resveratrol, who plays golf at Largo in with Trump in Florida. Gilead's Remdesivir has little or no effect on COVID-19 recovery or mortality. The World Health Organization says it, and Paul Craig Roberts is a specialist writer writing on it as well. Okay. This is what we're surrounded by. Insane. What hope is there for a country like Britain and the United States if they're going to be run into the wall by spurious scientists who are on the absolute pimps for Big Pharma, a whole lot of them. There's another schmuck in Britain, I've said it for the 10th time, Neil Ferguson, Professor Neil Ferguson. He has got the figures wrong, he admits, by 1,200%, which were the figures that dictated a lockdown. I mean, this government should just throw itself off the side of a similar ship to the Titanic. I mean, they are just disgraceful. And this Matt Hancock thing, but one thing was done, the bars being closed early, and the bars being closed completely in some cities. Speaker of the House of Commons, I just think of his name in a second, the new guy, he's quite a decent guy. He has closed the bars in the House of Commons as of yesterday. Very good trick, because in Dublin and over Ireland, the politicians were boozing at the bar in the Irish Parliament. But I think they may have to follow suit. Lindsay Hoyle, that's the name of the Speaker of the House of Commons. Quite a decent guy. Big improvement on the previous guy, Burka. What he did, quite rightly, is he closed the bars. Apparently no alcohol in the House of Commons. So that's the only incentive they have to go in there. And they renewed the horrendously demonic and absolutely oppressive emergency legislations there during the week. And last week, actually, was... And 300 of the 650 didn't show up. They're using the COVID social distancing rules. So it's 300 weren't present to debate it or discuss it, and it went through on the nod, right? Shocking. I think it was actually voted for, but 300 weren't present. That's a disgrace, an absolute living disgrace. And they're supposed to be concerned. But it's beginning to boil now, come to the boil, the aggravation against this on a major, major scale. And it was a few people covering it. Well, like Alex Belfield, I play some of his stuff, but he's more, in my private life, I'm fairly foul-mouthed, but the Alex Belfield can be very foul-mouthed, but he hits the nail on the head. He's running a commentary on the stupidity of this poor Prince Harry married to this Meghan Markle social climbing bitch that he married, and signing deals with Netflix for $100 million, and then suing the Daily Mail for intruding in their life, and they pouncing and pimping around, selling their photographs to the media and their events. I mean, the man is confused. But this Meghan Markle, Meghan Mullarky, Alex Belfield calls her. He's a blogger. He used to work for the BBC for years. And he spends his time attacking them now. But he says she's working him like a puppet. There's no doubt about it. But she thinks she's in an episode of Dallas, as I said before. But that circus is going on and on and on. But as we go through the program today, we'll play one or two things from Laura Ingraham regarding this new COVID czar with Scott Atlas. I forget his title as such. But it's a very good interview with him. It's just 6 minutes. And Tucker, as you have to say, on the way conservative students are being hounded out of universities. It's a Stalinist, these universities now. Why send your children to... Parents love to say, oh, my son and my daughter's going to university, like they're upper class now, really. You stupid people. Have they got something they can come out with, a medical qualification, an engineering qualification? But no, those faculties are mostly being shut down in Britain and America. There's virtually very, very few of them. But one person who's getting very, very angry is Brian Rose. He's London Real. He's done a major series of interviews which went up into the millions with David Icke and key people over the last year or two about this entire debacle. He is thinking of running for mayor of London now, but he's very clear cut in his thinking. He's lived in London for 25 years, an American Jewish guy from New York, but he gave up the banking system, and kind of like Max Kaiser to a degree. But anyway, Ken has his piece there. Ken, the last one I sent you today was Brian Rose, 5 minutes, 44 seconds. If you want to run that now, I'll then comment on it afterwards. But Brian Rose on the lockdown damage to London. Okay.
Well, I'm very sorry to report that today in London, for our 9 million citizens, Tier 2 lockdown measures have begun. And this highlights what I've been speaking about for the past month, which is three things. This demonstrates a total lack of leadership, a completely disproportionate response to the virus, and a total lack of science-based decision-making. And I want to talk about that today. The UK hospitality chief has already said this is going to lead to massive job losses, expecting 250,000 or more. And what we have here is a pandemic, but not the one that you think. What we have is a pandemic of incompetence. That's exactly what we have here, because this is going to crush our hospitality and tourism sectors. The hospitality sector is responsible for 120 billion pounds of revenue in this country, and the tourism sector, 200 billion pounds. And I got to sit down yesterday with David Stafford, who runs the London big bus tours here that are massive and big for tourism. They were running 50 buses this same time last year. They are now running one, and their business is being decimated by the fear, this culture of fear and fear-mongering that our mayor and that our governments continue to press, even though, according to Public Health England's own data, only 3.3% of COVID transmissions are happening in the hospitality sector. It makes no sense. And yet, our mayor here has been on this bizarre London lockdown crusade. And he said before that we all go as one. So even though many of the boroughs in London still are underneath 100 cases per 100,000, wherever that number came from, which is significantly lower than the 700 cases per 100,000 up in Liverpool, he's decided that we all go as one. We all go as one into bankruptcy. We all go as one into mental health issues. And apparently we're all going to go as one down the toilet, according to him. And there was a great article yesterday in the Telegraph that really dug down deep and said, why are the mayors of Liverpool and Sheffield and Manchester openly protesting, threatening a legal action to the government to save the jobs of their citizens? And yet our mayor here in London, the city that's responsible for 25% of GDP of this country, 50% of the tax receipts, is crusading to lock down your rights and your businesses and your children and your future more than anyone. And he said it all comes down to relevance and re-election, because in 6 months' time, this was claimed yesterday by the Telegraph article, the mayor will say, well, the government didn't act soon enough, and now I need another bailout. And that has been the broken record we hear over and over again from the current mayor. I need another bailout. Currently asking for £5 billion. That's billion with a B, to bail out his failed transportation system. He's asking for another £20 billion to bail out his affordable housing plan. And he will ask again next year for billions and billions of more pounds from the government to bail out his lack of leadership and lack of interest in getting this city back to work. I'm looking for using science, using a safe protocol, and using a proportionate response to this virus to get what we all want, which is our kids back in our school, people in these offices, our culture back, our tourism back, our economy back. We have the greatest city in the world. We have the greatest minds in the world. We have the greatest culture, the greatest spirit. We've got everything in this city, and yet leadership is failing us on a regular basis. And so I'm going to keep making these videos until we get a change. And I know we can change together, which is why I've decided that I'm going to make a change. I'm going to stop talking about problems and I'm going to offer solutions, which is why I've come up with my Transform London 2020 plan of attack. You can learn more about this on my website, brianformayor.london. And I will be putting my ideas out there and challenging the leadership. And if you help me, then we will go to City Hall together in May and we will make drastic changes in this city. We'll get London back to work. We'll put our health first. We'll put our education first. We'll make London safe again. And we will be a world-class city once again. We will lead the world in our protocols in response to this virus. And we'll show them how a city can get back to work and get back to functioning and use a science-based approach, a proportionate response to the virus, and real leadership to get the job done. I'm excited. I'm looking for your feedback and your comments, because my job is to listen and to serve, as opposed to just get reelected. That's not my job. And I want to work tirelessly to get this city back, because it's given me so much. So please leave your comments below. Share this video if it resonated with you. If you want to learn more about my plan of attack, visit our website and expect more of these videos coming. And I'll be continuing to call out our leadership for their failings and always looking for better plans and better ways for the future and a new direction for you, me, and this great city that we call home. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Now he does very good interviews, and he has been hammering at all these issues before COVID about the New World Order and being jumped into a digital currency, and how the government are just revolving door, here today, gone tomorrow, ministers, as Robin Day used to call them, etc. But no, that London is shocking, the damage being done to London by this lefty communist mayor, Khan, and he's trying out every communist socialist idea he can do, and he's failing. And before even the COVID came along, he was running up debts, sucking debts, with this bike madness, insane, reducing the traffic flow in London massively. Something you can only phase in over years. Like, we're not to Amsterdam here, it never will be like that, where it's a bike and canal city. But the working from home thing has gone so far that the retail trade in London and the restaurant trade is just, it's collapsing. Even if they were allowed to open fully, and etc., they are have a vastly reduced market. I mean, the damage to the economy in London and to the UK based on totally crap figures and on an epidemic which doesn't qualify as an epidemic. It just does not qualify as that, and the figures prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And they're continuing with this carry-on due to what they call the testing thing is showing the infection. Well, to hell with it. The population of the UK is 65 to 68 million. There's probably 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 million people infected. So what? 85, 90% will not have an outbreak of the disease, right? That, and this is all over the world. Independent science are backing that up 100%. But they've arsed it up by having the lockdown, severe lockdown from March till September. And now they're trying to get out of it using the same tools and the same equipment and the same policy. But all the scientists involved in this have been utterly disgraced as morons. And even the Daily Mail, though, is getting the guts to speak up about them, and their key writers are singing the same tune. Dan Hodges, and these different people, and Stevens, and never mind the sole independent voice. He writes for the Mail on Sunday. It's Peter Hitchens, and he had doing a regular radio spot, which is massive listenership. To Talk Radio, an independent station in London, which is part of the alternative media now, really. And all their broadcasters, Julia Hartley Moore, Brewer, and several others. Howard. They have five or six very, very good broadcasts, and all their stuff is carried instantly on YouTube. So they've got a fairly, fairly good audience. There's no doubt about it. But no, the fuse has been lit now. People are just, why wouldn't they? Their income and their livelihood, even with the furlough money, etc., which is going to run out, the businesses they run are being pulled from under them. We have the situation, again, I'm repeating myself, over the last 30 years, the unbridled boom expansion of the supermarket. Six groups here. In America, there's only one, Walmart. We're six here. That's ridiculous monopoly. At one stage, Tesco had 33% of the grocery market. But the high streets of Britain have been hammered by the explosion over 25, 30 years of the supermarket expansion. And then the internet over the last 10, 15 years has hammered these small towns in Britain massively. And now the COVID, which has vastly improved internet buying. I mean, we're forced into it, without a doubt. And I was saying to somebody yesterday, a friend of mine who's very, very good, similar to myself in terms of research. I worked in the motor trade 3 years ago, and I understand they do not build for stock. They build to order. I mean, the country's importer has to put down an order on a monthly basis. It's basically 3 months ahead, and they can top that up month to month as sales increase, but they usually have enough stock coming for 3 months. But in Britain, about 50% extra vans were put on the road. How do they do that? They knew. Okay, we go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, very good. We'll come back in from the break. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. But following on there from Brian Rose, he has done powerful interviews with London Real. It's been all over YouTube. And YouTube trying to pull him and pull him and pull him. But he's standing up to YouTube. I see he's advertising on YouTube as regards his video training thing for media, which he's running. He's hitting that very, very hard. Anybody who signs up just to listen to it, they get deluged with emails. I have to stop it through Proton Mail. That's a very effective way of stopping unwanted emails if you're on Proton Mail. But now, what he's just following on from what he said, the economic implosion of 2020, U.S. jobs losses ramp up again as millions continue to slide into poverty. And a piece by Activist Post. And they're saying the mainstream media keeps trying to convince us that things are about to get a whole lot better for the U.S. economy. But instead, they just keep getting worse. On Thursday, we learned that another 889,000, nearly 900,000 Americans filed new claims for unemployment benefit last week. That was the highest number that we have seen since August. And it's yet more evidence that a new wave of layoffs has begun. But according to the experts that the mainstream media relies on, this wasn't supposed to happen. According to them, the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefit was supposed to be steadily tapering off as the U.S. economy shifted into recovery mode. Unfortunately for all of us, those experts have been dead wrong. They said yesterday, Michael Schneider's writing this. Mr. Schneider's writing the Economic Bulletin all the time. And he says, yesterday I wrote about the decline of the middle class in our country, and here in 2020, this pandemic has generally greatly accelerated that process. In fact, our new study has found that almost 8 million more Americans have plunged into poverty just since May. Nearly 8 million Americans have slid into poverty since May, according to Columbia University study reported by the New York Times. Why it matters, the researchers found that the monthly poverty rate for September was higher than the rates during April and May, and it also topped pre-crisis level due to the expiration of the CARES Act stimulus checks. And and $600 per week supplement to unemployed benefits. Okay, that seems to come to a full stop. And another, at least they're phasing that out here slowly in the UK. And another study discovered that 6 million more Americans fell into poverty in the last, just the last 3 months. And a separate study, researchers at Notre Dame University of Chicago found that 6 million people have slipped into poverty in the last 3 months of this crisis. It says our hearts should be breaking because of what is going on all over the country right now. Millions upon millions of hardworking people have lost their jobs and can't find new ones. As a result, they have lost the comfortable middle-class lifestyles that they once enjoyed and now joined the ranks of the poor. But the official government numbers don't look that bad because millions of those people are not even categorized as unemployed. Instead, many of the workers that have lost their jobs during the pandemic have been thrown into a category that is called not in the labor force. Yeah. In order to have faith in the official government numbers, you have to go to believe that more than 100 million working-age Americans are not in the labor force because they don't want to work. 100 million out of 328 million people, that's children as well. It is such a sham. Why don't we just put every single American that is not working into the not in the labor force category so that we can have a 0% unemployment? They're quite capable of doing that kind of stuff. Just 1 second. Okay, cough button. Of course, the truth is that more Americans are being laid off with each passing day. Over the past few weeks, some of the more iconic companies in the entire nation have been letting workers go. Further, companies have begun initiating layoffs on a trajectory similar to the traditional recessionary economics said slowdowns in consumer demand rather than the state-mandated shutdowns, okay, led them to cut jobs or close for good. Companies such as Allstate, American Airlines, Disney, Royal Dutch Shell, and United Airlines have each announced plans to cut thousands of workers in recent weeks. Some parts of the country have been hit much harder than others by this economic downturn. For instance, tourism has dried up almost completely in Las Vegas, and this week, more layoffs. Well, in Britain here, kind of restriction on travel has wiped out tourism everywhere. I mean, the damage in Ireland is absolutely shocking. They've gone into a draconian lockdown there under Varadkar and Martin. I mean, they are total globalists lapping this up. They think they're doing courageous work. They're absolute morons, the same as the Sadiq Khan and Boris Johnson. All supping out of the same pot. They're just believing the propaganda of Big Pharma. I mean, can you believe that these are bought and paid for crap pimps anyway? But he's saying here, Michael Schneider, declare your independence, profit outside the rigged system, protect yourself from tyranny and economic collapse, learn to live free and spread peace. Well, how do you do that? Counter Markets newsletter, trends and strategic maximum free. Okay. The Tropicana Las Vegas has given notice to 828 employees that they are being laid off beginning Thursday, October 15. And layoffs at two Paris Las Vegas restaurants are coming soon as notices have been filed with the state. And he's giving out the brand names, laying off 96 employees, etc., etc., etc. Next door, the state of California has been absolutely devastated by this crisis as well. Well, as Mike Adams says, and I repeat again, the tsunami wave of economic destruction will be run by politicians is 10,000 times worse than the COVID itself. That is what's going on. I think people are beginning to see it, beginning slowly to see it. That is that the gross mismanagement and miscalculation of the lockdowns that is destroying the economy, not the COVID. And the death rate is minuscule. And even this, I'll be playing a piece of Laura Ingram later on. We'll do it in the next piece, where she interviews this guy, Scott Atlas, who is talking sense about that. And he has made the CDC, I don't think he refers to it in this particular interview, correct their figures, and they were absolutely reducing it down by 94%. There's a broad in the broad stream of the economy, bar people that are mortally ill at close to 80 years of age, you have a 96% chance of not getting it, right? The winter flu of 2017-18 was 20 times worse. 20 times worse. Okay, we go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, very good. Now we're coming back in from the bottom of the hour break, but I referred to it earlier on, so we'll play it now if Ken has it there. The second one I sent you today, it's the, I think it's only, we're only doing one today from Laura Ingram, but she interviews Scott Atlas, 6-7 minutes nearly, if you have that one there. Laura Ingram talking to Scott Atlas about the entire debacle of the lockdown, etc. Okay.
So that more than 90% of the population remains susceptible to coronavirus. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think that Dr. Redfield misstated something there. And
so
the
misstated last time and
I'm going to answer your question if you let me finish. The data on susceptible that he was talking about was his surveillance data that showed that roughly 9% of the country has antibodies. But when you look at the CDC data state by state, much of that data is old.
Who are we to believe?
You're supposed to believe the science, and I'm telling you the science.
This is a White House.
He's not telling us science.
I'm telling you the science, and that's the answer. And if you want to look up all the data, you're free to.
Americans are looking for the best information right now.
Yeah, and I'm giving you the best information.
That was a perfect exchange. White House COVID advisor Dr. Scott Atlas joins me now. Dr. Atlas, thanks for joining us tonight. Why was it so important to correct that reporter's line of questioning?
Well, thanks for having me, Laura. You know, it's very difficult these days. Honestly, I just want to say I empathize with the American people who have been told conflicting information from a variety of sources, some of whom should know all the facts, but not everybody knows the data, not everyone's hands-on with reading the data, and the media has done a poor job at explaining, you know, allowing the data to be brought forward. Having said that, you know, the facts are that people like me are reading as much as we can. We're trying to do the best we can because the truth is critical here. We're in a pandemic, and it's been a tragedy, and 200,000 people have died. On the other hand, the truth the facts have evolved since this started. This is not March. We know a lot about this disease. We know who to protect. We know who has high risk and we know who does not have high risk. And when you get facts that are sort of partial truths, I think it's very damaging. The American people are very afraid. No one wants to be afraid. And the way to calm fear is to actually know the data and explain it very clearly and logically.
And Dr. Atlas, I know you referenced this in this exchange, but there are other types of immunity that we have, we humans have, and one of them is T-cell immunity, which could protect against this coronavirus. Could you explain that very quickly for us so people understand that? We don't currently test for T-cell immunity, but a lot of my medicine cabinet thinks we should be because that would allay a lot of fears.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's basically two broad categories of immunity. One has to do with B cells, and that's antibodies. And the other is T cells, and that is actually an immunity that lasts longer. And it turns out that antibody tests are done, and we see how many people have antibodies. But antibodies are transient. They only last for months, usually. And what we see here is that we make an assessment of how many people have been exposed by doing this this test for antibodies, but it turns out the literature has shown that there is a lot more than that population that is actually resistant to the infection because of either T-cell response from this infection or a T-cell immunity from a related similar virus. And this is a very important because the statement that 90% of people are still susceptible would make me afraid if I was one of those 90%, but it's actually untrue. And when you look at all the data, whether it's from Sweden or Singapore or La Jolla or University of Washington, all over the country, and now we see it from Japan, where the most of the immunity for this virus is felt to be due to T-cell immunity, and it explains a lot. It explains a lot about perhaps why children have very, very low risk from this. It explains perhaps why people in Asia didn't have as much of a problem because they had prior coronavirus exposure.
Bingo.
It really is a story that's evolving here.
Yeah.
But we need to understand it because we are not all susceptible to the infection, and we know now it looks very likely that at least three times that number of people with antibodies on testing, have immunity, and perhaps even more. It depends when you do the antibody test, for instance, because I said it's transient. So
exactly.
Even the CDC, if I can say,
yeah,
go ahead, Laura.
Now we just have to move along. I want to put this up. We talked about it briefly last night, but this full screen that I'm about to put up is very important because you're right. There's still a lot of people who are afraid out there. Here are the survival rates for different age groups, the best estimates at present. These are government numbers. So from ages 0 to 19, the survival rate, if you get the infection, is 99.997%. Ages 20 to 49, 99.98%. 50 to 69, it's 99.5%. Even if you're over 70 or older, the survival rate is 94.6%.
Right?
This is not to say it's still not a horrible tragedy. It is. And how many people died? It is a horrible tragedy. But those statistics, do they not indicate, Dr. Atlas, that schools should be open, sports should be played, and we've got to get back to normal life here? And people just don't even know these stats.
Yes, and I know, and this is a failure, in my view, of the public health officials who have not come forward with all the knowledge that we have, like I said, that we've learned. The disease is very, very low risk for children. It's extremely low risk, other than those few children that have some sort of an underlying condition. It's low risk for young adults, like college students, extremely low risk. And this data is known, it's proven all over the world. And I really hope Americans take the time to listen to some of these epidemiologists from Stanford, Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge. These are some of the best epidemiologists in the world. The data is out there, and we don't all have to be paralyzed with fear. We have to do very, very diligent protection of the people who are vulnerable, and those are usually older people with other comorbidities, and we need to open because we know the harms of not opening.
Dr. Atlas, thank you so much for your service to this country and for your perspective. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate
that. Very, very, very good. An outstanding man, but he's very mild-mannered. He should be extremely angry and the position he's in now, he should be going after. All the scientists have told, they've not just made mistakes, they've told barefaced lies, absolute barefaced lies. And the app they're using in the UK here, I see Mike Adams has copped onto it. It is sending out ghost notifications to iOS Android users. It is absolutely ridiculous. And the other day in a supermarket here, Morrison's near Hereford, I had a mask going into the store reluctantly, and I was talking to an assistant about stuff they're out of stock of, printer, paper, and notebooks. And she went off, she found out, she said, I'm going to reorder them. Okay. And I was just chatting to her, saying, just the computer system, not just reorder automatically. And she didn't know that. And I turned on my right, went into the cafe for a black cup of coffee, ordered it, and the guy behind the counter told me to fill in the form for the app tracing, track and trace. I said, no way. No way. So Morrison's, they have a bad history of the way they treat people. Very bad. And that's kind of thing is a creeping disease here, because any idiot who puts himself into those apps is tracked for life by the government. And that's kind of carry on. But that's the closest I came to a bus stop over there in public. But I was truly shocked, et cetera, et cetera. And another thing, we have, you know, the MOT, annual test on your car from 3 years old onwards every year. And then they shut down the motor trade for 4 or 5 months. They gave initially a 6-month extension. Then they changed that completely as of August 1st. If you were after that, you had 6-month extension. Then they scrapped that. And there's now a 2-month waiting list for MOTs. Okay, and you can be fined up to £1,000 for not having an MOT. So this is the position they put people in. And they, again, Johnson's government, such a bunch of schizophrenics, they then have countries that are free to travel to, and then when tens of thousands of Brits are out in these countries, these sunny climates, they change the status, and people have to rush home, change their ticket. You know damn well, change a ticket on a return holiday, you'll pay through the nose twice, 3 times the rate to get home, so as you don't have to isolate for 14 days, which would be you'd lose your job probably if you had a job, etc., etc. So all this crap has gone on, total disruption. How to antagonize a population and destroy economy at the same time. I mean, a war wouldn't do as much damage to the economy as they have here in the UK. It's just shocking at every single level. But there's so much stuff I could read out here. Our COVID case surges more fake news. Yes, they are, the way they're being used. The infection rate is not a thing to be chasing. It's just a joke. And it's a microscopic virus. And most people who came down with it were wearing masks in all the situations that we went to wear masks. 80-90% of them. So as I say, masks are like, repeating myself, putting a chain link fence around your garden to keep out mosquitoes. It's that useless, and it's destructive to your health. Even if you're fit and well, it's destructive. It creates more bacteria in your mouth, and you're using a bellows, etc., etc. And it's people with bronchial problems, it is totally destructive, etc. But before this COVID started in the UK, there were 5 million surgical operations behind. The waiting list of 5 million across the UK in hundreds of hospitals. That is surely up to 6 million now. They will never catch up. I'll be talking to a relative of mine, who's a surgeon, later in the week. And, well, they have worked for the rest of their lives, but I don't know where they're going to send them. I think it's because it's similar in France and in Spain. A lot of people are traveling to France for medical care over the years. Some medical complaints were just ridiculously long waiting lists, etc. But that is getting worse and worse and worse. And just this one about the NHS app, which is, let me just read a piece of it here. That's from Natural News. Phantom exposure notifications sent out by the NHS COVID-19 tracing app have distressed users who have installed it on their iOS, who are stupid to install it, and Android devices. Alerts informing possible exposure to COVID-19 case appear to you on users' phones, but tapping on those notifications only makes them disappear. And opening the app itself displays no information related to the alert. Whoa. Apple and Google have not fixed the glitch. Currently, the app has over 16 million downloads in England and Wales, which are basically useless. National Health Service, the NHS, officials claim the notifications are not a cause for concern, as these are not a cause for concern. They sent this crap message to people, as these are default messages.
Oh, really?
That indicate that the app is on and working. Oh, dear, dear. Such barefaced cheek. And I frequently asked questions on the NHS website tackling the issue, said these difficult these default notifications cannot be turned off, and informed that the important messages will always be visible from inside the app. Whoa. The Department of Health and Social Care, DHSE, pointed its finger at Apple and Google for the phantom notifications, claiming that these are designed to alert the user that the app and the API are sharing information following online. Well, I told you one time I was taking aspirin for a painkiller, really, and because I'm overweight, and a dentist put down on a form when I was going for a serious dental surgery in a hospital, self-medicating thing. Now, that phrase caused me unending havoc. And this other app will mark you for life in your medical records, right? Talk about medical records being confidential. Forget it. Forget it. But furthermore, the NHS here in the UK said users should be only self-isolate when this message shows up. The app has detected that you have been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus. Please stay at home and self-isolate to keep yourself and others safe. I would think people who are passing by and dealing with people who are going to work and mixing with people, probably mix with people 100, 200 people a day, and I'm sure 10, 20 of those people have the infection and they don't know it. So, and the app would indicate they met one of those people. So the app is useless. It's a joke. It's the government posturing and posing that they're doing something about it, having caused the problems in the first place. Similar apps used in Scotland and Northern Ireland experience the same glitch. The NHS COVID-19 app used in England and Wales is based on the Apple Google free software blueprint. Other countries, including Scotland and Northern Ireland, used the tech giant's blueprint and encountered the same problems in their respective areas. The Protect Scotland app, oh, Nicola Sturgeon, most hated politician in Britain, also had the same ghost notification problem, albeit only limited to iOS devices. The app How It Works page outlined users with Apple devices may receive weekly notifications referring to COVID-19. Now, they're repeating themselves here again in these articles, but various issues with coronavirus tracking apps undermine their actual purpose. Sure they do. So this is going on a parallel. It's a pantomime if it wasn't so deadly serious, and it's just really pissing people off on a shocking scale. And they refer to Singapore's Trace Together app caused headaches as it drained phone batteries and often required restarting the phone. I noticed I have a BlackBerry, but a brand new battery, and the wretched thing has to be charged every 2 days, even if it's not used. Shocking. Shocking. But and then this scramble to make a vaccine. Johnson & Johnson aborted baby COVID-19 vaccine. Pharmaceutical participants. That's a story and a half. Considering they've just, they're not finished yet. They have been fined over $1 billion for the appalling scandal of Johnson's baby powder having asbestos in it for 25 years, which they knew about. Right, and it's that Ethan Huff is updating the story here on National News. He's saying, things are going exceptionally poorly for Big Pharma in its quest to release warp-speed vaccines for the Wuhan coronavirus. The latest casualty is Johnson & Johnson, which has halted its trial to an unexplained illness in one of its participants. With lack of publicity, several people have come down with horrendous side effects for Imagine volunteering to test this cursed vaccine. I wouldn't do it for £1 million. Similar to what happened with AstraZeneca's Wuhan coronavirus vaccine trial, J&J, Johnson & Johnson, observed a participant suffer from a serious adverse event, prompting the company to put an immediate stop to phase 3 operations for making a vaccine. This means that all trials involving Johnson & Johnson vaccines candidate, including the large-scale one launched on September 22nd by Janssen, with an anticipated enrollment of 60,000 volunteers. 60,000! Well, they'd be giving them a lot of money, I suppose. These people, 60,000, are desperate. Volunteers at 215 research sites are now on hold while the pharma giant investigates what happened, really. In cooperation with the Independent Data Safety Monitoring Board, Johnson & Johnson is reportedly evaluating the participant whose illness has not yet been publicly released. Well, he's alive, I suppose. Well, that's a positive outcome, is it? Internal, clinical and safety physicians are also involved in the investigation. Isn't that reassuring? According to the company, adverse events are an expected part of any clinical study, especially large scales. Well, these are usually carried out and proven in private, and people sign disclosure notices for giving great money. And bar they die, nobody will know what the side effects are, right? Down the years, I know all of heard so many stories about these testing drugs situation. As a result, there are prescribed guidelines for how to proceed when a serious adverse event occurs. Isn't that a really nice language? Serious adverse event, what the military call collateral damage. Yay. More stories like this can be found on Pandemic News. I'm sure that's a great read. And it said, injecting aborted babies into your body is never a good idea. Having received £1.5 billion from the Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services to produce a vaccine, I mean, this is breathtaking. They've given Johnson & Johnson £1.5 billion, who have already paid a fine close to $1 billion for the asbestos problem in Johnson's baby powder, along with AstraZeneca and several others that also received taxpayer funding and rushing at warp speed to get the Wuhan coronavirus. Well, even an idiot, your average civilian with average IQ, cannot but notice that any virus outbreak mutates. So, and they say this has mutated 7 times since it's left Wuhan, right? And so the viruses, the vaccines they bring out are based on one strain only. It cannot possibly be based on all the different strains of it, right? But nobody will run a documentary on that, because all the media is doing the cover-up, the government is doing the propaganda, and the medical profession are shut-mouthed, afraid to open their mouths, and the scientists the same, bar the key courageous doctors, 600 in the US, 100 in Texas, and 6,000 across Europe. Who will not take part in this carry-on, have given press conferences saying how outrageous all this carry-on is. But AstraZeneca's jab, which reportedly caused transverse myocarditis, is similarly derived from an aborted baby cell line known as HEK293. Like Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca halted its Wuhan coronavirus vaccine trial when its aborted baby jab caused harm to a participant. Don't know, we're not going to a break then, huh?
Okay.
Said, and they're quoting somebody from the pharma industry saying, I isolated retina from the fetus from a healthy fetus as far as I could see of 18 weeks old, stated Dr. Alex van der Ebb, who developed the PERCO vaccine. This is out of context, they're writing this. It's very hard to follow it. But these companies who have a criminal record as long as your arm, given government money to go and this warp speed carry on. They said the most vaccines down the years which are harmful, it ought to take 3, 6, and 9 years to be to get on the market. And now they want to do one with inside a year. Oh, figure that out, folks. Figure that out. And they said the more COVID information comes out, the more fake news there seems to be running with it. The COVID cases are on the rise, so we are told daily by hysterical media establishment. Newspaper headlines scream panic as the recent USA Today article proclaimed COVID-19 cases rising in 39 states. 9 months into the pandemic, we are overwhelmed. No, they're not. It's the infection rate. That's infection. The whole country's infected. It's the American people who are overwhelmed. 9 months into masks and lockdowns, with the presidential election just weeks away, facing a daily barrage of doom and gloom from the media. Any cases? Are cases really on the rise, or are they simply positive tests? Call it positive tests, yeah. The above article, one of many, warns, is stating 9 states setting ominous 7-day records. Well, we have the state of South Dakota in the United States with an absolutely clear-cut record, who didn't have a lockdown of any kind, and it has the lowest rate in America. Right. So what proof do they need? And also Sweden and Denmark, who didn't do any of this crap at all, are carrying on as normal with minimal deaths, etc., etc. The only thing is that old folks' homes weren't properly protected in Sweden as well, etc. But here, maliciously, the NHS forced care homes, both council-run and private, to take elderly people who they knew were infected into care homes, which is a way of clearing out the bed blockers, what they've been calling for years. How do you benefit from a crisis? That's what the NHS did, and shut down all operations as well. Okay, we go to the top of the hour break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.